by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth. And we just obviously gravitate toward the image of light shining through. And as a Christian, we understand that. And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about the light, literally the light. Would you rather be bathed in light or darkness? Unfortunately, among too many today, the answer does not seem to be obvious. A reminder, the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they are stumbling over. Think about that. Proverbs 4, 18 and 19. You have a contrast there. The way of the righteous is like this gleam at dawn. It's a beautiful picture. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. We had a great illustration this morning in Sunday school as Scott and Martha were taking an old chimney apart. Martha, unfortunately, was at the bottom. And Scott removed just the right bricks, and all the soot came out and poured all over Martha at the bottom. And she said, it was so dark. It was so dark. This illustrates the total darkness. And it says, the word says, they have no idea what they are stumbling over. As I was reading, I do a lot of reading. Many of you know that. I read a lot. It's reading a science fiction novel. And what's happening now in our culture, every medium of communication is adopting things that are not biblical. They are expanding and trying to make us believe that it is acceptable and it is quite normal to live in ways that are told, that we are told very specifically in God's word, are not normal and are not right. They're an abomination. All trying to convince us that living in non-biblical ways is actually fine. In fact, it's progressive. We're progressive in certain things. That was good at one time. But now it has been hijacked. That word has been hijacked. And if you're progressive, what it really translates to is that you are embracing immorality and things that are immoral and accepting them, and they are being phrased in such a way and in such a manner that they are trying to convince everyone our progressiveness, our embracing of immorality is actually a form of higher morality. When in fact it is just anti-biblical living. And look at this alternative here that Matthew 6 has, verses 22 through 23. The eye is a light for the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the only light you have is really darkness, then you have the worst darkness. That's scary. But the real sad thing is they are persuasive. And those who are not instructed in the Word of God start to fall into that trap. Don't assume that we are not affected by our culture. We are. As I was sitting there reading last night, I was just hit once again very strongly by how lost humanity is. Without Christ, without the light of the world, without God's holy word as our beacon of truth, without that, man is destined to degrade and degrade and degrade. And we've seen it historically over and over and over again. That's why many of the great cultures, the great societies, have fallen. They've fallen from within because of moral decay. We're seeing the same thing in our own nation. And yet, they are placing themselves up as a standard of morality. And yet, what is their morality? It's nothing except humanistic idealism. And it has nothing to do with God's holy word. And the scripture told this to us a long, long time ago, that is what would happen. The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. It's a light for everyone to see. It shines brighter until the full light of day. But look at the alternative. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they are stumbling over. And then Christ points out, your eye is the gateway to allow light into your mind. And yet, if your eyes are evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the only light you have is really darkness, then you have the worst darkness. Because you don't recognize the darkness for what it is. Light of Christ. Look at this wonderful verse. Ephesians 5:13-14. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. When the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. What does darkness do? It hides things. It puts things in little corners and it covers them up, and things are not visible. If you want to be illuminated, then you need to have the light of Christ shining on your life, on what you're studying, on what you're perceiving, so it will illumine your mind with that which is right. The light, L-I-E-G-H-T, of evil. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. So we must be careful. And that's why people are falling into this trap of believing this form of darkness is actually a form of light. No, it's not. It is Satan disguising himself as an angel of light. Now, the light of the Spirit. For once you were full of darkness, Paul is writing to everyone. Every human being in Ephesians 5:8-9. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light, the light of Christ, within you produces only what is good and right and true. If my life is to represent Jesus Christ, and I'm called a Christian, so that's what I want my life to represent, then I want it to produce only what is good, right, and true. And that can only come from the light of Christ within me, shining forth so others can see this truth. What is our relation to the light? The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Well, praise God. That is wonderful to know. John 1:4-5. We heard that in our call to worship. His life brought light to whom? Everyone. Everyone has the opportunity to receive the gift of God's light through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our salvation, our Lord. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Amen? Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Wow, that is awesome. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. Romans 8:16-17. Kind of a bummer that the bottom part's there. But you know what's reality? And we are seeing in our culture today more and more attacks upon Christianity. The light makes everything visible. Everything becomes visible with the light. Darkness can't do that. The light makes everything visible. Ephesians 5:14. His life brought light to whom, I asked you before? To everyone. So everyone has the opportunity to receive this light from God. Light shines. The light shines, John 1:5. Because the light of Christ is in us, we too should shine. We should shine forth with the truth. The darkness can never extinguish the light of Christ that is in us. It won't work. Now, we may pay for it with our life, but guess what? Our life's eternal. And we will go on to be with Christ should we have to pay that ultimate sacrifice. The Spirit testifies we are God's children. You can know you are a child of God because the Holy Spirit of God lives in you and is testifying to you, I am a child of God. Amen. We are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. Folks, that is amazing. When I realized last night and thought about it again, how lost we are, how far we are from a holy, perfect God. And yet, he loved us so much that he sent his son to die on a cross to pay our penalty for being sinful. He paid that price so we could become heirs of God and literally co-heirs with Jesus Christ, who lived a completely perfect, a completely sinless life. He certainly was the light of the world, because we live in a fallen creation because of sin. So this world is now literally influenced by the prince of the air or the prince of darkness. But we have the light of God in us. And the light, Jesus Christ, came and exposed that darkness even as he died on a cross. But he didn't stay in the grave, did he? Darkness and the grave could not hold him. He kicked it in the teeth and he came out. And that's what we will celebrate on Easter morning, his resurrection, our eternal hope for eternal life. Those led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Amen. Romans 8:14. As sons and co-heirs, shouldn't we do as Jesus did? Okay. What did Jesus do? He exposed evil intentions. Ephesians 5:14. In our culture today, it's very clear that there are those who are trying. They are trying to expose evil intentions. You see it every day. You hear it every day. And yet many, many others are trying to not let the evil be exposed. He exposed evil intentions. That's something that we too should be about. He made life and light available to everyone. And we are called to be his ambassadors. More about that in a moment. That's John 1:4. He made life and light available to all. Jesus shined amid the darkness. And he made us God's children and his co-heirs, Romans 8:16 through 17. He made himself and the church one. That's very important. Jesus Christ made himself one with the church. We are members of his body, Ephesians 5:30. Christ and the church are one, Ephesians 5:32. He did God the Father's will. Are we doing God the Father's will? I mentioned earlier that our culture does affect us. We cannot help but be affected by our culture. So does that distract us from doing the will of God the Father? We need to be aware of that, and we need to be on guard, and we need to let the Spirit of God show us when that is happening so we can reverse the trend and do exactly what we're supposed to do, like Jesus did, which is to do the Father's will. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. This is from Jesus' high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. I brought glory to you, God, my Father, here on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. This is why you sent me. This is why we celebrated Christmas. Jesus came as God in the flesh, God among us, Emmanuel. Now, verse 5, now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. Where is Christ now? He is with God in his glory at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf, the church. The church and Christ are one. And he intercedes on our behalf. Dispersing the light. We are the light. We are the light of Christ. Jesus returned to the glory he knew and shared with the Father before his incarnation. Christ is God. Christ is eternal. This light is eternal. Before he became a babe in that manger, he always existed. He has always been the light. Then God decided to send the light into the world to destroy the darkness. And Christ did that. But we're still in guerrilla warfare. Because not everyone in the world has accepted him as the light. They have not accepted him as Savior. And so the prince, the power of the air, is still working guerrilla warfare through his minions, even though they don't realize that they are serving Satan. If you do not know Jesus Christ, then you are serving the enemy. That's the way it is. You may be doing it knowledgeably, or you may be doing it completely unknowledgeable of that fact. But unless you know Jesus Christ, you are not serving God, so you are serving the ways of this world, which right now basically are influenced by the prince, the power of the air, which is the enemy, Satan. We are to be his light. He is the head of the church. We are his body. He is the light. That means the body is also the light. And since he has gone to be with the Heavenly Father, we have the Holy Spirit, though sent, which indwells us. And we are to illuminate this world with the light of Christ being shown through his body, the church. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. Matthew 5:14. Matthew 5:18 states, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. God's purpose will be achieved, period. Are there bumps along the way? Yeah. He tarries because he wants more and more and more people to accept him so that they can spend eternity with him. He doesn't want to see them choose to be damned to hell, because literally that's what happens. The gospel, especially in our nation, is everywhere. But everywhere it's trying to be covered up, it's trying to be changed, it's trying to be misinterpreted, even in churches today. And they're trying in churches because they want to be like the world. They're accepting non-biblical things. We cannot do that. That's why the word is so emphasized in our church. And then salty, are we salty? Or are we worthless? Again, Matthew chapter 5, this time verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. Hey, go out and make things tasty, folks. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? No, you can't. The only one that can do that is Jesus Christ. The only one who can do that is God the Father. The only one that can do that is God the Spirit. So if you've lost your saltiness, you need to be on your knees praying for God to rejuvenate you. Because if not, the salt will be trampled. It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as if worthless. Not my thinking, not my conclusion, the conclusion Jesus Christ stated in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Remember what Jesus did. Is the bar set pretty high? Well, yeah, he was perfect. I haven't met a perfect person yet, but that's my aspiration, to be more and more like Christ. I know I'm never going to be perfect because I still wear this body of flesh, and it's corrupted. It's part of the sinful creation. That's why Christ is going to give us a new body. We will receive new bodies. We're going to be translated from this life. And we will receive a new heavenly body that is without sin. But this one's corrupted because it was born in a sinful creation, a fallen creation. When man fell, creation fell. How about reconciliation, verse 23? All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We're supposed to be out there doing this work. Our work is to reconcile the world to God. The only way that can happen is for us to be his messengers telling about Jesus Christ in a way, in a winsome way, that is enough that they want to receive Jesus. We can't save anybody. The Holy Spirit does that. But we can certainly be his messengers. So he wants us to have this ministry of reconciliation, verse 19, that God was reconciled to the world, to himself, in Christ. So that's how reconciliation came. Not counting men's sins against them, because Christ became a man so he could make that reconciliation possible. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. As his body, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to continue the ministry of reconciliation. So we are to also, in verse 25 of Matthew 5, to settle our differences quickly, not to go before the courts. We need to do that amongst ourselves. If we have differences amongst ourselves, we should settle them. Love one another, John 13:35. Do good, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Do good to all, and then there's a clarification, especially to the church. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Does our light shine? Does our passion for God and for lost people eclipse all other passions in our lives? That's really a tough question. It was easier for me when I was younger to ask that question. I'm older, I'm wiser, got to be honest. Sometimes. I'm working on it being more often than not. And I pray that you are too. Because we are to have our light shine. Christ was all in the business of reconciling the world to God. In other words, he was all about the business of saving fallen humanity. That should be our business too. And that's one reason we should shine like Christ, so that that is a possibility. The only way that will be possible is for us to be filled to overflowing with his Holy Spirit. So what do we do next? We do as Christ did. We do all the things that the scriptures that I've recounted today tell us to do. They tell us what Christ did, then they also infer that we are to do the same. So if there's any darkness in you, we want the illumination of God to run it out. But it won't run out without your permission. God is the absolute gentleman He will never force you to do something you choose not to do. So that question, do you want to be bathed in light or in darkness? If you want to be bathed in light, then you need to always, moment by moment, be allowing the Spirit of God to come into your heart and your life and cleanse out any darkness that your eyes have allowed to come in. Don't ever get to the point where your eyes are convincing you that the darkness that is coming in is actually light. But all you have to do is look around you to see that there are many people that are doing that. Sometimes we need to go back to God and say, oh God, if that has happened in my life, cut it out. Cut out the darkness. Illuminate. Drive it out. For light dispels darkness. In Jesus' name, we go to others to share His power as He told us to. Amen? Let's read the benediction together. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people. And you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Proverbs 3:1-6. Amen. Heavenly Father, give us the power to go in Jesus' name. Give us the unction, Lord, to go in Jesus' name. To do what He did and to be in the business of reconciliation, helping our friends, our neighbors, our enemies to find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.